Hello and welcome. This is Colleen O'Grady, the host of the Power Your Parenting Moms with Teens podcast. This is a gathering place for moms to be encouraged, nurtured, and inspired. Also, you'll learn the latest in teen research and trends and get practical parenting tips. You really can improve your relationship with your teen and enjoy the teenage years. Welcome back, everybody, to the 92nd episode of Power Your Parenting, Moms with Teens podcast. This is Colleen O'Grady, the host of the show. Today, we're going to talk about when to tune out and where to tune in. And here's what I mean. There is lots of chaos and fear swirling around our world right now, and therefore we are experiencing a lot of drama, chaos, and fear in our families, and it's not bringing out the best of us. But the drama can be swirling around us, but we don't have to let it in. We don't have to let it inside of us. We can stay centered, grounded, and calm in the midst of an adolescent storm or a global pandemic and actually enjoy our day. When I was a kid, and we were smack dab in the middle of a Houston, really humid summer, we used to have terrible mosquitoes. There were fogger trucks would drive up and down our streets at night, sending out a big fog of DDT. It kind of looked like a sci-fi movie with the headlights of the truck lighting up the fog. As a kid, of course, you're curious and want to run outside and watch the fogger trucks. And some neighborhood boys actually like to ride their bikes behind the trucks. Goodness. But I think the farthest I got was opening my front door, and I remember it stinking, and I started coughing, and my mom would quickly pull me back in. Even though the fogger truck sent out this big fog of DDT that swirled around the house, my parents, being wise and mature, chose to keep the toxic DDT out of our house by keeping the door shut. There are some things you shouldn't let into your mind or your heart or your homes because it's toxic for you and your family. The toxicity may be all around you, but you can choose to not let it in. Okay, humor me with one more metaphor. A boat can float because it keeps the water out. You can steer a boat through some pretty turbulent waters and still get where you need to go, but if you let the turbulent water into your boat, then your boat is going to sink. I don't have to tell you that we are living in some turbulent times. My goal here is to keep you afloat and keep the toxicity out of this holiday season, and so you can feast on life. First, we're going to talk about don't let the drama in. To have a healthy attachment with your teen, you need to know when to tune in, which really means how to be attuned to your teen, to be present and have empathy. And when tuning in works well, your teen feels safe and feels that you get it, that you really want to understand them. When you tune in, you lower the drawbridge, so to speak, and you let them in. You let those words in. But when your teen is emotionally flooded and in full-blown drama, you don't want to let that in. You want to raise the drawbridge and shut the drama out. So there is a time to tune into your teen and a time to tune out your teen. So when do you tune out your teen? Well, mothers have an amazing skill. Since your teen was a baby, you've learned how to tune in to her every look, movement, and sound that she's ever made. By the time your son or daughter is a teenager, your tuning in skill is highly developed. Now, it seems like you can tune into your teen's emotional state from 100 miles away. You know what kind of mood she's in by the way she shuts the door, opens the refrigerator, and what clothes she puts on. There are so many positive aspects from this tuning in skill. One, tuning in enables you to protect your teen. When you are tuned in, you know if she's telling you the truth. You know when things don't add up. You know what she needs and when she needs help or your protection. Two, tuning in fosters empathy and compassion. This is needed to have a secure attachment and close, loving relationship with your teen. She gets that you know what she's feeling and that you care, This enables her to feel loved. But there is a negative side of tuning in. Mothers can get stuck in a hyper-tuned-in mode. You can get so tuned in to your teen that by default you tune out everything else, including you. Your daughter picks up on your hyper-tuned-in mode and she will react. She will either throw a fiery dart at you or she will avoid you by hiding in a room. See, it's very important that you learn when to tune in and when to tune out. A happy, healthy mom finds a balance between tuning in and tuning out. You don't want to be hyper-tuned in, and you don't want to be so detached that you're always tuned out. There are many benefits to tuning out. The main benefit is that it decreases unnecessary drama between you and your teen. Your teen is going to have dramatic moments. He or she can't help it. She is hardwired for drama with her hormonal surges, undeveloped prefrontal cortex, and concrete thinking. She is a triple threat for drama. Teen drama is like a fire. When mothers get hyper-tuned into their teens, it's like you add gasoline to the fire. When you tune out, you are not feeding the fire, and eventually the fire will go out. You were hyper-tuned into your teen when she gets into the car after school and you immediately say, like, what's wrong? She reads a text and tears up, and you say with great emotion, are you okay? It's Saturday morning, and he stumbles out of bed, and you ask him to clean his room, and he slams the door. You decide to give him a lecture about how he'll never find a wife that will put up with him. You're driving her to school. You remind her of 7 things that she needs to do, and she snaps at you to shut up, and you yell back, you can't talk to me that way. These scenarios will escalate into a big drama scene. They can be avoided by tuning out. 4 reasons why tuning out benefits you and your teen. 1, your teen needs space to feel her own feelings or his feelings. It's okay if she cries or gets upset. Many of her down moods will pass quickly. They are like the afternoon summer showers in Colorado. There may be hard rains and lightning, but it will quickly pass. Now, the exception to this is if a depressed mood lasts longer than a few days, then you need to step in and find out what's going on. 2, another reason why tuning out benefits your teen and you, that you won't take it personally. When you are hyper-tuned in to your teen, you take things personally. If he's in a bad mood, you think it's aimed at you. If he is unhappy, you think you're not doing a good job as a mother. If he's ungrateful, you feel he's taking advantage of you. Nothing can set a mother off quicker than taking it personally. When you are tuned out, his bad mood won't get to you. The 3rd reason tuning out benefits you and your teen? Tuning out decreases anxiety. If you are hyper-tuned in to your daughter, then you're prone to fear. When you're hyper-tuned in, you usually are not tuning into her strengths and successes. Most likely, you are tuning into her sad, stressed, or angry moments. Your imagination will make mountains out of these molehill moments. 4th reason why tuning out can benefit you and your teen? Well, timing is everything. A normal teen will have happy moments, calm moments, sad moments, stressed moments every single day. There are predictable times that your son or daughter is going to be in a bad mood or stressed. If your son or daughter is sleepy, hungry, or stressed, they'll not be their happy self. You tune her out when she's having one of those moments. Most likely, the storm will pass. Tune in when she is back to herself. This will save you lots of grief. Many years ago, my daughter and I were about to leave on a vacation. It was early, and my daughter and I are not morning people. She was rushing through the house, and it looked like she was in a bad mood. If I was hyper-tuned in, I would think, why is she mad at me? I'm taking her on a vacation, or she's so ungrateful. But I tuned her out, knowing she is not her best in the morning. 30 minutes later, the storm had passed, and we are laughing and completely enjoying each other. Tuning her out saved me unnecessary drama. So, if your teen tells you that you're the worst parent in the entire world, don't let it in. If she says, I hate you, you are so mean, don't let it in. If he tells you, fine, I won't go to college, don't let it in. If he says, no wonder Dad divorced you, there's something wrong with you, don't let it in. You won't let me hang out with my friends because you don't have any friends. Don't let that in. This is drama. This is mean-spirited. They are offloading their anger, their disappointment, their boredom onto you. When I say don't let it in, I mean don't give it a second thought. Don't mull over it. Just block those comments out. Raise the drawbridge. You can still deal with what they're saying without letting that in, like to your son, what you said was mean-spirited, and that's not okay. If you have an issue to discuss, we can talk through that. But if you say something else that is mean-spirited, there will be a consequence. So you dealt with it, but you didn't let it in. If you let those words in, they go straight to the heart, and you start to feel what they say, and when that happens, you will sink. And you can't parent effectively when you sink. So when your teen is attacking you, don't let it in. Second, don't let the fear in. I come by this naturally. My mom's a big worrier and was afraid of many things. So my sister and I inherited FNA, which is fear and anxiety. I've had to work hard to keep the fear out. For 19 years, I taught in a medical school, outpatient and inpatient facility for teens. I have seen every nightmare any mother would ever have. They weren't stories on the news. I knew them personally and their families. So when my daughter would come home late from curfew, my imagination went to the worst case scenario. And luckily, it was just needless suffering because my daughter was fine. 2020 has not been the year of vision like we thought. It has been the year of fear. And though we are drawn to fear like a moth to a flame, it's not what we want to hear. What we want to hear now is that it's the most wonderful time of the year. Again, we don't want to let the fear in. All the what ifs. What if my elderly mom or dad? What if we all get COVID? What about my job? What about the economy? Are we going into another lockdown, and for how long? Will we be able to celebrate Christmas? Will we be able to gather at Hanukkah? Will this ever end? All the obsessing, all the ruminating, all the what ifs, let the fear in. Fear is causing divisions in family. One sister feels like it's fine that everyone gets together. The other sister thinks that's foolish. Obviously, I'm not saying one is right or one is wrong. What I am saying is we don't want to let fear bring division to our families. When we let fear in, it becomes all you can think about and drives all your decisions. Fear then dominates your life. Now, of course, you want to deal with the facts and do your part with social distancing, wearing masks, washing your hands. You can stay informed and do your part without letting the fear in. I've lived in Houston all my life, and I've had many hurricane scare. For several days, you watch the storm in the Gulf of Mexico on TV get bigger and bigger. And it's a hurricane category 1, now it's a 2, now it's a 3, now it's a 4, as you watch it approach your city. And we are all glued to the news. The last 24 hours before it hits, we can't do anything or think about anything but what will happen. And Hurricane Harvey was horrible, and it stalled out over Houston for 4 days, which seemed like forever, but then it moved on. But we have been in this global pandemic for 9 months, and we have to find a way to manage this stress for the long term. A hurricane is an acute crisis. COVID is a chronic crisis with no end in immediate sight. One way to manage the stress and to lower the fear is to limit our media intake. I am informed, but I don't watch much news. You know, I saw my sister at Thanksgiving, and she told me that she's been feeling traumatized. And she said, well, I watch a lot more news than you do. Moms, we have to be careful to monitor how much news we watch and what our teens and kids are watching, or we will all be traumatized. One of the best ways to not let the fear in is to be proactive about what you do let in. If you watch the news and then watch a Netflix hospital series where people are dying of COVID, you are letting the fear in. I think this is a time that we need to be wise about what we do read or watch on our screens. There is so much death around us, and all we're hearing is about more deaths and more deaths. And I want to challenge you that this holiday season, that you feast on life. When you feast on life, fear gets edged out. There is more room for life and less room for fear. I challenge you to set an intention this holiday season. I choose to feast on life. Yes, death is all around us, but life is also all around us. You feast on life when you leave your screens and you go work in your gardens. The Wednesday before Thanksgiving, I brought my mom pansies and cyclamens, and we planted those in her backyard, and it just raised her spirits and my spirits to see all that beauty. We feast on life when we open our eyes to the nature around us, like the beautiful fall leaves, or the leaves, the bare trees is still beautiful. The sun shining and the blue sky during the day, and looking up at the stars and the moon shining at night. You feast on life when you walk along the ocean or through the woods or through the snow. You feast on life when you enjoy the smell of the evergreens or the ocean breeze or a roaring fire or the smells of baking in the kitchen and all those delicious holiday treats. We feast on life with the simple pleasures every day, from having our cup of coffee or cup of tea, taking our dog for a walk around the neighborhood, letting your cat lay on you when she purrs. You feast on life when you play Mexican train dominoes with your family or any other games that you like to play. You feast on life when you take time to read, to journal, to even look at a frivolous magazine. You feast on life when you decide to put a fresh coat of paint in your bedroom or buy a new comforter. You feast on life when you lay aside your agenda and you just hang out with your teens and just enjoy them and delight in each other's presence. You feast on life when you meditate, do yoga, dance, walk, run, or ride your bike, or play piano, maybe guitar. You feast on life when you watch old classic movies together with your family, even those old movies your teens enjoyed when they were kids. You feast on life when you slow down enough to truly see the ones you love, to really see your parents, your brother or sister, your spouse, your friends, your kids. You feast on life when you look at old picture albums or go through your Facebook and Instagram pictures and remember how much you have to be thankful for. And yes, we have all these constrictions on us because of COVID, but we can still feast on life. We can reach out and have a Zoom call with an old friend, gather our family on Zoom. When we feast on life, we realize there's so much to feast on. We see life all around us. When we feast on life, we are generous. We have something to give to others because we are full of life. When we feast on life, we expand. When we let fear in, we are constricted and we don't have anything to give. This may not be a Martha Stewart Christmas, Hanukkah, or whatever holiday, but you can still feast on life. This Thanksgiving, it was just my mom and my sister. My mom is 88 years old and very fragile. And my sister was uncomfortable with having our kids and spouses there. And that was a good idea. But it was the first time I was not with my daughter and her boys and spouses. But it was a very special Thanksgiving. I FaceTimed my daughter multiple times, and she was at her boyfriend's parents' house. There was a running text with our whole family. And my sister and I had the sweetest time with my mom. We sat on her back porch that overlooks the golf course. My dog Lily was there and snuggled close to my mom. We laughed together and enjoyed one another's company. And on Thanksgiving night, we watched The Wizard of Oz together. See, my mom has really bad dementia, and this could well be our last Thanksgiving together. I will never forget the delight on my mom's face as she watched The Wizard of Oz. I saw more of her come back, more animation, more smiling. My mom told me how her and her mom had saw it in the movie theaters together, and how incredible that was, and how scared she was of the witch and the monkeys. As we watched the movie, the three of us sang all the songs together. Yes, this was simple, but my heart was so grateful that we feasted on life together, and I'm so grateful that I did not miss the feast. Dear moms, treasures the ones you love this holiday season and feast on life. Don't miss the feast. This concludes this week's episode of Power Your Parenting Moms with Teens podcast. If this podcast has been helpful, I would absolutely love it if you could go to Apple Podcasts and give Power Your Parenting Moms with Teens podcast a 5-star review. This makes it easier for other moms like you to find the support and encouragement they need. Also, my best-selling and award-winning book, Dial Down the Drama, Reducing Conflict, Reconnecting with Your Teenage Daughter, A Guide for Mothers Everywhere. You can find that and order it online at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And you can always find other great resources and contact me at ColleenO'Grady.com, 2 L's and 2 E's.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.